Commission is now in session. You can help us expedite today's hearing by following a few rules and procedures. First, everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your turn to speak, please come to the podium and state your name and address clearly for the record. The applicant and those in favor will be heard first, then those opposed to the application will be heard. After that, the applicant will be given time for rebuttal, and if necessary, those opposed will be given the opportunity to surrebut. We ask that you limit your presentations to 5 minutes or less. The chair reserves the right to limit testimony and will exercise that right in the interest of others who have business before the commission. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments from the public will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with our decision, you may be able to appeal the decision to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. This time, would Commissioner Hill lead us in the flag salute?
Please stand and salute the flag with us.
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
May we have roll call?
Commissioner Arabian. Commissioner Borchardt.
Here.
Commissioner Carver is absent. Commissioner Quist.
Here.
Commissioner Roman.
Here.
Commissioner Whelan.
Here.
Commissioner Zonte.
Here.
Vice Chair Hill.
Here.
Chairman Abrahamian.
Here. Okay, there are no consent agenda items on today's calendar. The next item on the regular agenda is public presentations. This portion is reserved for persons who wish to address the Planning Commission on any items that is within our jurisdiction but not on this agenda. Is there anyone that would like to address the Commission at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number two.
Regular agenda item number two, variance application number 4174 and director review approval number 4780, filed by Omar Maravilla, proposing to allow the creation of a 2-acre parcel and an 8-acre parcel from an existing substandard 10-acre parcel in the AE20 zone district, and a director's review approval to run concurrently to allow 2 existing residences to remain on the proposed 8-acre parcel. The subject parcel is located on the east side of Orange Avenue, 0.25 miles south from the intersection with East Adams Avenue, approximately 2.77 miles south from the city limits of the city of Fresno.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Elise Alvarez with the Department of Public Works and Planning. Variance application number 4174 proposes the creation of a 2-acre and 8-acre parcels from an existing 10-acre parcel with a DRA to allow 2 existing residents to remain on the proposed 8-acre parcel. There is a current DRA on the 10-acre parcel. The DRA is required to reflect the new configuration if approved. The subject parcel is located in an area of the AE20 zone district and is designated as agriculture in the Fresno County General Plan. Regarding the 4 required findings, for finding 1, staff is unable to recommend making finding 1. The applicant's personal circumstance and desire to build another home where 2 currently exists is not justification for an exemption or extraordinary circumstance unique to the subject property. All the adjacent properties are subject to the same constraints and cannot be further divided into smaller parcels. There are no exceptional or extraordinary circumstances which do not apply to other properties in the vicinity. Staff is unable to recommend making finding two. Again, the applicant's desire to build another home on the property is not a substantial property right. In the context of a variance of substantial property right refers to the uses allowed in the applicable zone district under the standards in the zoning ordinance. The subject property has been utilized for its allowed purposes, including the development of two homes and agricultural uses. As such, their substantial property right to use a property for uses listed in the zoning ordinance are not inhibited. Staff is able to recommend making finding three. While the creation of additional substandard parcels could have a cumulative impact on the area, the single application would not have a substantial detrimental impact on the area. And for finding four, staff is unable to recommend making finding four. The proposed variance is not consistent with the general plan, goals, and policies for the preservation of agricultural land and maintaining minimum parcel size. Due to the issues in finding 1, 2, and 4 of the required variance finding, and as DRA 4780 is contingent upon the variance, staff board therefore recommends denial of variance number 4174 and DRA 4780. This concludes my presentation. Staff is able to address any questions you may have.
Any questions of staff? Commissioner Quist?
Just for clarification, the mobile home that is existing, is that considered a secondary home?
Yes.
Any other questions of staff? Now, this is both a variance and a DRA, correct?
Correct.
So it can be appealed to the Board of Supervisors?
Correct.
Okay. If there are no other questions or comments, I would like the applicant to come forward. State your name and address, if you would, please.
Good morning. My name is Omar Jacinto Maravilla, and I'm the applicant for the application.
Did you have a presentation you'd like to make? You know, staff is recommending denial, and there's findings that we need to make in order to support it.
Pretty much, my parents are getting a little up there in age, trying to help them out with the crop. My dad started irrigating with ditch water, which out there in the county, they give you 1 week, once a month. Help him out in the morning. Ever since he got diagnosed with diabetes, it's been a little bit harder for him. I would love to give my family the life they deserve out there in the country. Me personally, I think it's the best area in California, hands down. And it's not like we're not trying to live out there. They've been posting houses left and right, and we've been throwing very aggressive offers. And just had a probably just bad luck. Investors, as soon as they see houses out there, their just eyes light up, and they'll come in with 40% down, 50% down. And it's just making it hard for people that want to live out there in the county, the outskirts of East and the outskirts of Fowler. To enjoy a life out there. Something I would love to give my kids. And then for the crop, I know we're gonna, it says 2 acres, but we're gonna keep as much crop as we want. That way we show my son how to farm it. My dad continue farming it.
Right now there are two residences on the property.
Yes, there is. It's my parents' house, and then my sister, she lives there. She's a single mom, 2 kids, working all the time.
Does she live with the parents or in the existing mobile home?
She lives in the existing mobile home, then.
So the issue, well, you wish to split it into two parcels.
Yes.
And that'd be so you can build another home.
Exactly.
Could they do that by right now, or is that because of the mobile home they cannot? Or?
The mobile home is by right, I think.
In that area, I believe the smallest you could break off without no issues, as long as it's, I believe, a family member, which would be your kids, is 20 acres.
And
we're on a 10-acre lot.
But to build another structure?
To answer your question, no, they can't, because right now the existing parcel's 10 acres in size and has two homes existing.
Because of the mobile home?
Yeah.
Okay.
How long has the family owned the property?
Since 2002. My dad bought it off of, my dad purchased it off his boss, which is called Ray Moles. He has a packing house and he owns a lot of crop out there. He purchased off of him. And then prior to that, we lived in right there off of Cedar and Floral, which is like 3 blocks away. So it's pretty much born and raised in that area.
It's hard to make the findings because we're supposed to see if there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances that are applied to the property, not just the personal aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm having trouble. In the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right, that's no different than the rights that are possessed by others in the immediate area with the same zoning classification. Let me see if there are other commissioners that have any comments.
I have a couple questions. Are you working with a consultant or an engineer or anybody that's helping you with this at all, other than the county?
No, it's just me.
Just you?
Yeah.
So when you found out that there were three criteria that couldn't be met, what was it that drove you to pushing on? Obviously, you got the report back.
Yeah. I just really, really would love to break 2 acres off my parents' lot so I could build a home and help them out. And
but you weren't led to believe by anybody that this would be a...
I mean, they told me it was going to be an uphill battle, but at the end of the day, it's an uphill battle versus fighting.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. The way you went about it... this commission is pretty good about trying to help.
Yeah.
But... I use this analogy at the last meeting. If everything pretty much passes, this is like stops and recommending it, and then you can be over here, and we have a little more latitude, and we can maybe pull you over. But you're kind of over here. We might be able to pull you this far, but we can't necessarily. You know, there's latitude, and so I think maybe talking with a consultant or you know, before you got spent the money, you got all the way over here. You got, because I agree with the. With Chairman Abrahamian, you've got a tough road to make, and finding number one and two especially. I could make four. I can pull that one over, but you've got some... There's just nothing extraordinary and unique. I know your story is unique, but as the chairman pointed out, we're supposed to leave the story out. It's something like, you know, if there was a ditch running through and the property was useless or it couldn't be farmed or something like that, and there's something with the geography, that kind of thing, something that makes that property unique. And I think if you maybe went back and spent some time looking into that, or maybe even talking to an expert or something like that, it might be helpful to you. I just off the top of my head, I can't just come up with something that to pull that over, but I'll leave it up to my colleagues.
Thank you.
How long has the mobile home been there?
Since 2020. 2019.
Is it still mobile, or is it one of those that is...
No, it's already...
Stationed?
Yeah, it's stationed. Permanent.
Is there someone's living in the mobile home?
Yes, my sister.
Your sister. And then your folks live in
the
house.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Residence.
And, approximately, what's the size of the existing house?
The existing house, it's, I want to say, I think it's like 1650 square feet.
Okay.
It's 3-bedroom, two-bath.
You think it's under 2,000 square feet?
Yes.
And the existing mobile home looks like it's about 1,000 square feet? Could I ask staff if he chose to do so, could he replace the smaller mobile home with a home the size that any size that he wishes? I know that might not solve the sisters, you know, living there, but I was just wondering if that was an issue, because I know you want to build a home there.
Yeah.
But let me find out first if that's a possibility. I don't know that you'd want to consider it, but is there any limit if he replaced that mobile home? Since the other home is under 2,000 square feet and you have a family member living there?
For second residences, one does have to be under 2,000 square feet. So if he wants, he just can't build the three homes on the property.
I understand that, but there's no, if he replaced that 1,000-foot mobile home, he could build any size that he wants.
As long as the other one confirmed is under 2,000.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that that's a good option, but it just depends, you know, what direction you want to go there. Any other comments or questions from the commission? Did you have anything else to add at this time?
We're good right now. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever, I know this is a little bit more difficult, but have you ever thought about having your parents to deed that over to you, and then you can give them a life estate?
No, I don't.
Is that possible, Rhonda? I mean, if there is consideration.
No, because the starting point has to be 20 acres. So the fact that they're already substandard kind of puts them out of that realm.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Any motions?
If I can just comment, Mr. Chairman, I think if, I don't know, Commissioner Arabian said he could possibly make finding four. I mean, I could see making finding two. I can't really get to finding one. I'm not sure if any other commissioners can or have a different thought on finding one, but I think I could make finding two. Based, if you look at Exhibit 7 of what the applicant's responses are to the report, I think he lays it out pretty clearly that you know, the right to have a home site on one's own property is enjoyed by others under like zoning. I think that sort of helps me get there on finding two.
Any other comments? Well, I could agree with Commissioner Zante, but I'm still having trouble with finding number one. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, because I need to make a motion to uphold staff's recommendation to deny the variance.
I'll second.
Okay. Any comments? Commissioner Quist?
There we go. Did someone want to stay?
I know mine wasn't doing it either.
Well, anyway, I tend to agree with, although I think I could rather make it to number one than number two, but that's my own personal opinion. But I am empathetic with the applicant and his desire to do what he wants to do. Just wish there was a way that we could get through all those findings and make it happen. But it's extremely hard, at least under the current application that we have.
Any other comments? Okay, the chair made the motion to deny. Commissioner Arabian made the second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to deny, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. That motion to deny carries and can be appealed to the Board of Supervisors, but check with staff on that if you so choose. Next item.
Regular agenda item number 3, unclassified conditional use permit number 3774 and initial study number 8489. Filed by 25th Street Recycling, Inc., Security Paving Company, Inc., proposing to allow a solid waste processing facility along with a ready-mix concrete plant on an existing 12.01-acre parcel. The subject property is located within the M3 Zone District. The subject parcel is located on the west side of Golden State Boulevard, 0.4 miles north of its intersection with Chestnut Avenue, approximately 0.33 miles east from the boundary of the city of Fresno.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Alexander Pretzer, Department of Public Works and Planning. Conditional use permit number 3774 proposes to allow a solid waste processing facility alongside a ready mix concrete plant allowed by right on a 12.01 acre parcel. The subject parcel is designated as general industrial in the adopted Roosevelt Community Plan. The surrounding area is designated in the Roosevelt Community Plan for industrial uses and is currently utilized for a variety of industrial uses. In regard to finding one, staff is able to recommend making finding one with compliance to the conditions of approval included as Exhibit 1 in the staff report. The site as proposed has sufficient access, parking, and meets all setback requirements. In regard to finding 2, staff is able to recommend making finding 2 with adherence to the conditions of approval for the project. The site for the proposed use as it relates to streets and highways are adequate in width and pavement type to carry the quantity and kind of traffic generated. In regard to finding 3, staff is able to recommend making finding 3. The proposed project is located in an area of the county planned for industrial development and is located near existing industrial operations. With adherence to the mitigation measures and conditions of approval, staff believes that there will be no adverse effect upon surrounding properties. In regard to finding 4, staff is able to recommend making finding 4. The proposal is consistent with general plan policies related to industrial development, including policies such as policies LUF 31 and PFC 16. Staff is able to recommend that the Planning Commission approve conditional use permit number 3774, and staff is available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Thank you. Is the applicant here? Come forward.
Hello. I'm speaking on behalf of Security Paving. I'm Nathan Roberts with Umabi and Horn Engineering.
Your last name again?
Nathan Roberts with Umabi and Horn Engineering. Mark, the owner of this property, couldn't make it on the way over here. He got stopped by the fires coming from L.A.
Did you have presentation or agree with staff's recommendation, obviously, I would assume?
Yes. No presentation, but we do agree with staff's recommendation.
Okay. Did you have any comments that you wanted to add at this time other than, do you agree with all the conditions or does the owner?
Yes, the owner does agree with all the conditions, yes.
Let me ask if there are any questions of the speaker.
Okay. I have a question. How many jobs do you think this will help create?
I have the superintendent here, actually. Can you repeat the question?
How many jobs do you think it'll help create in Fresno?
Or if you don't mind, state your name and address for the record, and then answer his question if you would.
Joe Rice with Security Paving.
We're union, so we're looking to probably bring in about 20 people out of the union here in the local 3 district. So
great.
Got another 20 good jobs coming out. So
I support job creation. So leave it at that.
Okay, any other questions?
Yes, speaker? Sir, is this, it says here, is it a ready mix plant plus a recycling and paving? Is that kind of, because it says in our report, in the subject part, it says it's a solid waste processing facility?
Yes, we'll be bringing in all the concrete and asphalt off the freeway projects that we're doing local now. Bring them in, we'll crush it into recycled base rock material and then take it back out to the freeways.
Okay. But then you're also the paving company. That.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak on this item for it? Is there anyone here in opposition to this item? Close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for any discussion and motion, which is on page 9.
Move to approve.
Okay, Commissioner Quist made a motion to approve as second per staff, that. With second by Commissioner Hill. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries and is final unless appealed. Next item, number 4.
Regular agenda item number 4, variance application number 4183, filed by Debbie Coombe, proposing to allow creation of a 3.79-acre parcel, a 16.19-acre parcel, and waive the public road frontage requirements for the resulting parcels from an existing 19.59-acre parcel located in the AE20 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the north side of Big Leon Drive, 4,490.4 feet west of Aubrey Road, approximately 1.18 miles northeast of the city of Fresno.
I understand that there was a request to continue. Could staff address that, and then I'll go to the public.
That's correct. Applicant has requested the item to be continued, and he is here to confirm that. Additionally, staff is going to note that we received a comment letter dated August 13, 2025. That has since been provided to you commissioners and is included in the staff report at the back and will also be included in the staff report when this item comes before you again.
Okay. Well, I guess there are two issues. One is the continuance requested by the applicant. And then the other is to find out if there's anyone here, since it was asked for late, that you couldn't send out notices to continue the item. I would allow testimony on this item if people did come here specifically for that. And then, if it's proper, we would continue the item if the commission so chooses.
Yes, a motion to continue would be appropriate. I would suggest you ask if they want a date certain or a date uncertain, because that affects the noticing requirements.
Let's bring the applicant first to verify that they've asked for continuance, and he can answer that question. Then we'll see if there's anyone that wishes to comment on either the continuance or the project.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Austin Yule. My address is 695 West Cromwell, Suite 102, Fresno, California. I was asked by the applicant and the representative, which happens to be my father, to speak on this item. I wasn't actually down here for this item. Happened to be on the next one, but he is my dad, and so I try to help him out when I can. The applicant was unable to be here today. Again, apologized for the last-minute notice. Obviously, given what Alex had mentioned as it relates to a comment letter, this will give the project time to address that comment. As it relates to a identified further date for the hearing, I believe the first October hearing date would be agreeable to the applicant to be able to come back before the commission And again, the applicant appreciates staff's time, the commissioner's time, and apologizes for any waste of it.
And Chairman, if I can clarify, the first hearing in October is October 9th.
Okay, so
it's personality.
If approved, this would be continued to October 9th, so no additional notices would be sent out. Did you have anything else to add at this time, Mr. Yule? I will ask for testimony just because the notice that you were asking for a continuance didn't come through earlier, and people may have come specifically to speak.
Absolutely. That's very fair.
So with that being the case, do you wish just to have your comments prepared for the applicant's comments for the October meeting?
Yes, please.
Okay. Are there any questions of Mr. Yule at this time? Thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
Okay, now, let me ask if there's anyone else here to support this application. It may come back in October. Seeing none, is there anyone that wishes to speak in opposition to this application, knowing that this may be continued to October?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. It's my understanding that the applicant would like to respond to the letter that I sent in, and that's the reason for the continuance. I think that should tell you that perhaps what I wrote was important. And so what I suggest you do is, between now and then, take a good look at that letter so that you can be apprised of my interest. The reason I did this is not because I'm in any way in opposition to the owner of the property or anything like that. It's just that I've watched over the years as this commission has struggled to make findings, and I can see it's been very difficult, and so I wanted to come and help you do that. And so what I did was I provided you with the state law and with the county regs to let you know what you can do and cannot do. And the conclusion I reached after reading all that is that this particular variance should be denied. And so please take a look, and I'll be back in a future time. If you have any questions of me right now, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Reed.
Thank you.
Anyone else that would like to speak on this issue? Okay, I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission regarding a continuance. Is there a motion to continue this item to a date certain, October 9th?
Move for the continuance.
Okay. For the motion.
Okay, a motion by Commissioner Arabian, second by Commissioner Hill to continue this item to October 9th. No new notices will be sent. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries. It's continued. Next item, number 5.
Regular agenda item number 5. Variance application number 4181 and initial study number 8658 filed by JD Investments, proposing to waive lot size requirements and allow for the creation of two substandard 2.55-acre parcels from an existing 5.09-acre parcel located in the AL20 zone district. If approved, a mapping procedure will follow. The subject parcel is located on the west side of Willow Bluff, approximately 0.65 miles from the city of Fresno.
Good morning, Chair and members of the Commission. I'm Ariana Brown with the Department of Public Works and Planning. This variance application proposes to allow the creation of two 2.55-acre parcels from an existing 5.09-acre parcel. I have received public comment on this item this morning, and copies will be provided or have already been provided to you. The parcel site is located on the west side of Willow Bluff. The subject parcel is zoned AL20, and the surrounding area is zoned for agriculture and residential. This site plan shows the proposed parcel configuration. These are photos of the surrounding area. Staff is unable to make all four findings for granting this variance, as there was not an extraordinary circumstance identified, there was not a property right at risk identified, and the variance is not consistent with the general plan. This concludes staff presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of staff? Thank you very much. Would the applicant come forward?
Hello again. My name is Austin Yule. Address is 695 West Cromwell, Suite 102, Fresno, California. I'm joined by my colleague, Nick Yavino, also the owner of the properties here, and would like to share a few words also to talk about how we came to where we are and what the expectations were and what his goals are for the variance, should it be granted. Additionally, our hydrogeologist is here. As a hydrogeology report was prepared for the potential variance when the initial study and environmental assessment was prepared for the project. You may recall this matter was actually scheduled and before you on agenda in January of this year. A matter had come up on a family matter and it required the item to be postponed to today. And so we appreciate staff's time. We appreciate them making the finding number three. However, we disagree and believe that finding one, two, and four can be made, which can be referenced in your board agenda item packet, exhibit seven, page one and two. This property in this area, which I'm quite certain you're familiar with, is extremely unique, and not only due to the location and the topography, but the other enjoyments and rights that other neighbors have experienced in this area, which has led to the creation of parcels through variances in this immediate area, ranging anywhere from an acre and a half to 18 acres. And as you may be aware, in the past well over about 12 months to 2 years, roughly 19 variance requests have come before you. In this particular area, 15 of those have eventually been approved, allowing for parcels, smaller parcels, to be created than the existing zoning designation. I'll leave that there for a moment so you can take a look at the Exhibit 7, page 1. I'll allow Mr. Cook to come up and at least to be able to share, if that's all right, what his intention is of the property.
Let me ask first, Austin, sure. If there are any questions of you.
Yes, please.
Any questions of the speaker? Were you planning to come back up?
Yes. Okay. I wanted to be able to address. I had just seen Mr. Reap's letter, and so I'm happy to try to address that as well.
Okay. Then let me, no questions of you right now. Let me ask for the next speaker.
Good morning. I was going to purchase two of the lots up the street from Mr. Finnegan.
Can we get your name, if you don't mind, for the record? Your name?
Oh, my name is Ron Cook.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I was going to purchase two of the lots up the street from Mr. Finnegan, and then I had the opportunity to come across this 5 acres, and it seemed more economical and smart to buy it and split it into 2.5 acre parcels, have an elderly mom that needs care, and I was going to build a home for her. I'm going to build a home for her, put her in one of the 2.5 acre parcels, and then me and my wife and kids were going to live in the other one. And that was my intention with doing this.
Could I ask staff if... And there's no homes on the property at this time?
There is no homes on the property. I did go ahead and put two wells on the property, but I stopped because I want to make sure we could get this approved before I go forward.
Sure. Is it possible, staff, for the applicant to build a one home and then a second residence on the
yes.
same parcel?
Yes, that's correct. The parcel as it exists right now is currently vacant with no structures on it.
And the only limitation would be the 2,000 square foot.
Correct.
For the second, for one of the residences, and that one of the family members has to live on the property.
Correct.
By the same token, Mr. Chairman, if this is approved, then they can build a residence on each one of those new parcels plus a second. Okay.
Correct, and obviously through the director's review and approval process for a second residence.
Okay. So I understand your desire to split the property. Just want to know if that, if for some reason this is not approved, you still have that option.
We do, but we have a large family, so we were going to build on the main lot separate residences, and the homes are fairly large.
So each home is larger than 2,000 square feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's...
Okay. Commissioner Hill?
Now it's coming on. So if split the lots, you would have two houses on each property.
No, so one house on each property.
No, he could build a second one.
He can, yes.
He can. So potentially the long term could be four homes on this, which would go into being a little subdivision. And this was is ag and separated into this. And this is, we have to consider to keep our sight on the fact is not making it a multi-subdivision type home. It's like larger lots and the person have a larger lot. And so that would be like four homes. And that sounded like it might be your intention with your family.
No, we do not want to make a subdivision. I am a farmer, so I do plan on farming something on it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some citrus.
On the back, on one of the lots?
Probably both. I don't know what variety. I haven't gotten there yet. That's why I dug the wells to make sure that we do have adequate water, which we have more than sufficient.
But potentially, if it was kept as is and denied as staff has requested, that two houses could be built.
On each lot?
No, it's one lot, 5 acres.
She's saying two houses right now on the entire parcel. If it's split, two on each parcel. If it's split, then you can build a house of your the size that you want and have room for a second additional dwelling.
Yes, I stopped with the plans because I wanted to make sure we can push forward, and that's where I'm at this point.
Thank you.
What was the flow? How many gallons per minute?
It was adequate. Bradley and Sons did it. I don't have the records in front of me, but they were over 100 gallons, I believe, GPM, which is very high for that area.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other agriculture on that street?
I believe olive trees. And I think the neighbor there with the eucalyptus has a bit. I don't know his varieties, though. I think they're vines.
It seems to me it's more of a residential area than it would. I'd be less concerned about the four houses. Potentially, more than likely, it's just going to be two larger houses than ag for a 10-acre place you're talking about. Maybe being able to put 6 or 7 acres of ag potentially there or something. I
mean, yeah, hobby stuff.
Yeah.
For the kids.
It's five acres.
It's 5 acres going to 2.5, so that's right. So you're not even going to put, it would be maybe just 2 or 3 acres.
Yeah, just.
Like
Different varieties, probably.
I mean, to me, I'd go buy a ranch somewhere and do that, and do your houses and call it good, probably. That'll end up using more water, if water is a concern. I don't know. To me, I'd be less concerned of it than it would. The question for staff on, we just approved in the general plan update, does that include this area? That was that?
This area.
Refresh my memory.
This area is just outside of.
Just outside. Yeah. Okay. Never mind then. And that was for RR, right? And it's just outside of it, and that allowed up to two acre lots, or down to 2 acre lots.
Correct.
Okay, so that's just right.
Reno Road area is the area that you're speaking of that was approved as part of the general plan.
Correct, and this project actually applied prior to the general plan update, which allowed for the rural residential designation, which goes back to what you've seen the intent by the supervisors previously, which has allowed these variances to take place here at Fryant and Willow area. So along that bluff, what is developed out are numerous 2 acre lots. And that has been consistent on that side of Willow, as well as the Fresno side of Willow, continual application and then utilization of the variance process for creation of the 2 acre lots.
Mr. Yule, we know who you are, but would you state your name for the record?
Sure. My name is Austin Yule. I'm here on behalf of the applicant.
Okay. I have a question. In Exhibit 7, the letter from the applicant, there's a line that said the Board of Supervisors have recognized, talking about the finding number one, has recognized not keeping up with the general plan designation or underlying zoning, has directed staff to rethink their areas. And rethink is in quotations. Is that...
That is a quotation from the board, some of which had led to the update to the general plan for the rural residential designation of the surrounding property.
Adjoining area.
Correct.
Because of the unique nature of this property, it's already been split to five, and you have such a lot of residential around it and very limited agricultural use because you're right next to the road, correct?
Correct.
So most of it is on a hillside?
Correct.
So you really can't run cattle on it.
No. Given the topography and the location, yeah, it's really not viable to run any sort of sustainable agriculture. Mr. Cook obviously has other farming activity, and so it makes, you know, planting some citrus for, you know, local use and enjoyment practical, but not for anybody to come in and run a commercial operation that's sustainable.
I mean, if this was farther up and part of a 20 or 40 acre parcel, I couldn't support it, but I believe I can make the findings on this one.
Yeah,
due to the location of the property.
That's kind of where I was going as well. It's not really a farm. I wish I wouldn't have even brought that up because it kind of muddies the water. These are home sites, right?
And that's what naturally is developed in this area.
The RR right next to it. And that's, so anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But.
No, it's fine.
There had been an aerial exhibit, but it doesn't look like it was part. I couldn't find it, but that gives a better depiction of actually what you'll see from lots and the homes that have been actually developed immediately around this.
It's more of an infill project, basically.
It is. That's.
I'm not going to support other larger parcels being split up like this, but this is kind of a unique situation.
So I'd like to add a correction to the record. I just verified that this parcel is included in that policy LU E24 for the Willow Bluff Reno Road area.
If it is, then wouldn't it already then wouldn't it be able to go down to 2 acre?
No, because what they...
Oh, it hasn't implemented.
Yeah. What they were calling for was 5 acre rural residential designation as part of...
Right. But it's slated to be 2 acre. The
applicant is proposing to go down to 2 acres when it currently is 5 acres.
Two and a half.
Yeah, 2.5 acres for each parcel.
The RR is down to only five.
Correct.
Two. Okay, gotcha.
And so you can see... Next to it, just below it, another property that was split to 2.5.
Can you turn the lights down a little bit?
Just north of it, 2.5. Just above it, additional 2.5s. just below it across the street, all 2-acre parcels. Across the street, 2-acre parcels. And then obviously the more concentrated, dense subdivision that is Monte Verde. And then just across from it, that's a parcel that's actually under construction now, which will made up of numerous parcels for the Bath family.
Austin, on the exhibits, did you take these pictures?
I'm not sure if I took them.
It says south, and then one says south, one says north, and one says west. Is that showing us what it's around? Because it looked like it's rolling hills.
Hello, Nick Uvino. Actually, I took those pictures.
Okay.
So.
Good. We found the mystery man. So it looks like it's rolling. Is this what's around it, the rolling hills? And it looks like it could be used for grazing.
I would say that part of the parcels can be, but there is, as mentioned before, you know, on the large side going toward Fryant, many of these parcels have a severe slope into Fryant Avenue.
Could I ask what side of, or where is Willow on the map that's on the wall? Could you use the pointer?
It's immediately to the...
Go ahead and use the...
Yeah. Use the silver one.
Oh, here. Gotcha.
Take it back one. There. Okay. This is Willow.
Okay. And the property is the one...
Right there.
Okay. What's the blue with the white dot in it?
Oh, I think that was just using Google Maps to identify a location. That development is what's known as Willow Ridge. That's a gated 2-acre lot community across from the entrance of Monte Verde, which is immediately here to...
Right above that property on ours that, shows it's vacant.
Yes. So that's a home that was built on a 2-acre parcel. This is a 2-acre parcel that was created. This is a subject property. This is another parcel. That's another parcel.
Okay. In the flood control district, do they have a
hopper?
Is it a ponding basin somewhere, or it's set
right over here?
Right there. Okay. Thank you.
What's the cross street above the cross one?
Here or here?
Right above the property.
Burkhead.
That one right there, where you're at.
Yeah. This is Fryant.
Fryant, and then what's the cross right there?
Oh, this is Reno Avenue, but it doesn't go all the way through.
No, but the big one.
This is Willow.
Okay, that going down.
It's under yellow.
But then right at the top there.
Oh, that is not a roadway to the east. Not a public roadway that I'm aware of. This Willow Bluff is a roadway,
dead ends, yeah.
And it dead ends after this last parcel. Okay.
I'm confused.
So where it says North Willow, sorry.
Like here?
Where it says North Willow, right there?
Yes.
Is that it dead ends right there?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so this is not a road.
Okay.
This, I think, was just a cross section that was created through Google Maps.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
To the west, is it Burkhead?
Yes.
Any other questions of the speaker?
Yes, please.
Apparently not Willow.
Whether it's from Mr. Yule, Mr. Uvino, or I note you indicated you have Mr. Schmidt here today.
He is sitting here, yes.
Okay. I would be probably totally inappropriate of me not to ask a question about water.
Fair enough.
I noticed... the language on Exhibit 8, on page 9, it said the proposed project parcel is located in a low water area. What's the definition of a low water area? And then And then it turns around and says, and Mr. Schmidt says, however, he's concluded that it has an adequate and sustainable water supply. Is that for this parcel? Or is he making a statement for a broader area?
Ken, do you want to address that question? If you heard it, I don't know. I think I know the answer, but I'll...
Let's see, when we've been doing studies for Fresno County in about the last 5 or 10 years, they want the project to be water neutral. It means the consumptive use you're going to have will be balanced by some source of water recharge. So we calculate like the consumptive use of the outside use of landscaping. So when you water the landscaping, part of it goes up in the air. We call it consumptive use and consider it to be lost from the area. The rest of it, about a third of it or 25% of it, goes back to the groundwater. All the inside use is considered to go into septic tanks and back to the groundwater. It doesn't have a consumptive use. So we balance this. The two lots are going to have where you could only have landscaping on about a quarter of an acre on each lot, and that would be supported by recharge from storm runoff. And the storm runoff would be placed, collected and placed in a basin like you've seen a lot of them in Fresno, or it could be put in dry, one or more dry wells. But that's the way this thing was developed. So, and in terms of the bigger area you were asking about, this is a sigma issue where the county is in charge, and this is an overdrafted area. And down the road, they have to eliminate the overdraft, and they're either going to have to get a source of water, for example, buying water from the city of Fresno or something like that, and building a surface water plant and treatment distribution system, or control a consumptive use. And it's much more likely, and we call these the white areas, that have no surface water now. It's much more likely they're going to have to control the consumptive use for farming, decrease the irrigated acreage, for rural residential, get to more efficient things and get rid of, have a 5-acre lot and 4 acres of it are heavily irrigated, to eliminate that and come more to what we're proposing for this project. Water that could be sustainable by the recharge of storm runoff. So that's the best I can tell you about that.
Where would that storm runoff be? I mean, on that parcel or at some other location are you talking about?
Well, we would, if you have a 2.5-acre lot, you would have an engineer lay out some kind of a drainage thing to collect the storm runoff, and then it would be collected at a low spot on the 2.5 acres, and they would build a basin to put it in, like we have all these basins you've seen in Fresno if you drive around, all these storm runoff basins would be like that. Or if they don't want to build a basin, because we figure it might be based on the geology, there's some hardpan out there. So if you want to recharge water, you'd probably have to dig out about 15 or 20 feet of materials. Very similar to basins in most of Fresno, certainly North Fresno. Or if that's too expensive to do that, you can put in what we call dry wells and put the water in the dry wells. But it's collecting the storm runoff at a low spots, instead of just letting it run off into someone else's property. It'd be to maintain this storm runoff and recharge as much as possible. And I think the flood control district is saying that they can recharge about 20% of the rainfall, and the rainfall average is 11 inches or so. So So the amount of landscaping that can be supported by that recharge on a 2.5 acre lot mean that you could only have about a quarter of an acre of landscaping. And you're going to have to, down the road, go to things like artificial lawns and things like that. And people, they seem to be real popular, actually. So, you know, as far as maintenance and many other things, they look good. So,
well, the concern I have is because we have approved in the general plan update, what, 500 acres, that will eventually end up into these 2.5s. And I look at 2.5 times a 5-horsepower pump and what they're going to put out, and are you going to be able to control each individual landowner about how much they're going to be applying?
Right now, the biggest water use is if you're irrigating, or if you have like a 5-acre lot and you have 4 acres of it are irrigated. That's the big water use that you got to get rid of. So actually going to 2.5 acres is sort of, and the fact that it's a future project, not a past project, it's a better thing in terms of the consumptive use of water is much lower. You know, when you go to these 2.5 acre things, you can only have a quarter of an acre of landscaping on each 2.5 acre lot. So that's
the
future.
Well, he talked about planting citrus there, though, which would be about 2 to 2.5 acre feet per acre per year. So we probably should clarify that, because that's where I was going earlier and where I think Commissioner Quist is going. I like your idea about the hardscape and the low water consumption landscape. All that makes sense to me. And really, these are home sites. It's not agriculture. But we probably ought to have that, some kind of teeth into it, saying that's a, you know, because you're talking about, even if you did 2 or 3 acres of citrus, you're talking about, you know, what, 8 or 10 acre feet per year,
yeah,
which is a lot of 325,000
yeah,
gallons per
yeah,
acre foot.
Mm-hmm.
So
in this whole white area, say northeast of Fresno and Clovis, that white area where the water level is going down an average of about 0.5 foot a year, the groundwater, that has to be stabilized. And if the part of it that remains in irrigation, they're going to have to get rid of quite a bit of the irrigated acreage to balance the overdraft. You know?
And you're aware that North King's GSA and every GSA are mandated to have a domestic well restoration fund, right, to assist homeowners when their domestic well goes dry. However, they've also implemented a pretty tough standard to make. And so, you know, I see as this area builds out, and I've already had instances of wells going dry in the area. So what's going to happen then to the homeowners or to the GSAs that may have to support those being
On the other hand, they can't achieve the goals of SGMA without gradually decreasing the overdraft and decreasing the rate of the water level going down, so that in 20 years or so, it won't be going down the water level any longer. And you won't have to worry about replacing some domestic well because it went dry. You know, the water level is going to be stabilized if you're going to meet the SGMA requirements.
So would you say that's going to be stabilized by even land and FID going out of production?
There's places where they could buy water and build a surface water system in part of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can't do that, you've got to limit your consumptive use to this recharge of the storm runoff. That's about the only sources of water we know of, so... All right. Thank you.
I've heard you speak before, and I liked your presentation and your math and how you get there, and it works for me. What doesn't work for me is the ag component of it. So we'll address that further. I'm having less problems making the findings than I am. I just want to make sure that we hit that.
Going back to those in support, Austin, were you going to make more comments then?
I'm happy to, or I can address any other questions if you have them.
Was there anything in the conditions of approval that state, I didn't read that carefully, about what the hardwood,
okay,
about what the landscape?
There's landscape requirements through state standards known as the Model Water Efficient Landscape Ordinance, which is a state requirement which has been adopted by the county, that requires that the property and any sort of home or landscaping will have to adhere to. That's listed in under the notes, under the conditions of approval, number 6. And then I think Mr. Cook would like to say one additional
retract
comment.
Retract his dream of having a citrus ranch?
Could be.
We need to comply with SGMA. And the ponding basins that are being built out there with the homes right now, it's a good plan. So there's no reason for any kind of hobby farm out there. We can restrict the landscaping down to comply with that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I just have a quick question. Are you related to the same Ron Kirk from Corporate America Lending? Is that your firm or?
Am I what?
Are you affiliated with Corporate American Lending? Is that your firm or JD? No. Okay.
I'm the financial manager of JD Investments.
Okay. I was just making sure I didn't have a conflict. Okay. But you don't have any connection to the Corporate America Lending?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is anyone here in opposition to this application?
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman. My name is Radley Reap, and I reside at 557 West Escalon in Clovis. I have been listening to your discussion, and I would like to help you refocus. I'm often surprised where the discussion goes, which is outside whether or not a parcel split is allowed at this point through a variance. I heard you discussing whether or not there was adequate water. Actually, that's not part of your consideration when you consider a variance from the general plan and zoning ordinance. That's a problem for the applicant to work out for himself. It's not important whether that's an area that has homes in it with smaller parcels. That is not also part of your deliberations today. Whether it can be farmed or not is up to the applicant. It has no bearing on what's happening. So I want to redirect your attention to what's important here, what's required by state law and by county ordinance. So I'm not sure if you have a copy of a letter I submitted. Okay, great. What I'd like to do is just read little portions of it in the interest of time, but I think I'll hit the highlights here. You will notice in blue in the middle of the page there, that's actually the law which tells you what you can and cannot do. Oh, it's not in color.
It was on the first one, but I didn't see it on this one.
Oh, okay.
I did see blue on the other
They must
one.
Not have printed it in color. Yes. Yeah, in the middle of page one. It says state law is surprisingly simple. Okay. Actually, state law is simple. I went and looked for it, and it is so clear what needs to be done here. So this is what the state law says. Variances from the terms of a zoning ordinance shall be granted only when, because of special circumstances applicable to the property, including size, shape, topography, location, or surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance deprives such property of privileges enjoyed by other property in the vicinity and under identical zoning classification. Any variance granted shall be subject to such conditions as will assure that the adjustment thereby authorized shall not constitute a grant of special privileges inconsistent with the limitations upon other properties in the vicinity and zone in which the property is situated. Well, basically what that says is you are to allow for a variance if you make a certain findings. One is that there's a substantial property right that right now is threatened on that property. And if you conclude that the property right is to be able to split their property, you are wrong. The zoning ordinance, the general plan states very clearly that this property is zoned agriculture, and that is the way it is to remain. There was some mention in the applicant's statement that the board had intended the area and was supposed to rethink it. Well, they did rethink it. And in 2024, they decided that the area to the east should be divided into smaller parcels, but all the remaining areas should stay the same. If the board had intended anything else, they would have said, oh, and by the way, the Planning Commission can come through and keep dividing property all at once because it can do it through a variance. That's not the way it works. So I would like to turn your attention to the second page. Particularly a little bit halfway through where it says Fresno County Zoning Ordinance 865.5.80. This is not the state law. This is your own regulations that you have to follow. And it's called precedence. And it says, each application shall be reviewed on an individual case-by-case basis, and the granting of a prior variance or minor variations is not admissible evidence for the granting of a new variance or a minor deviation. In other words, you can't look at the surrounding properties and say, oh, that guy was able to split it, so I should be able to do it too. That's absolutely prohibited. You can't even consider it as evidence. I know that's going to come as a shock to a lot of you because you've been doing that for years, but that's not the way this is supposed to work at all. And over on the last, on the third page, I'd like to read the summary. It starts right in the middle of the page. To sum up, the applicant has not provided any credible or relevant evidence to support findings that there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances or conditions applicable to the property, or that the variance is necessary for the enjoyment and preservation of a substantial property right. That's just simply the fact. All the properties out there are the same. The one next door to his is just like his. They all have the same property rights. There's no property right threatened here at all. What occurred previously in the way of general plan amendments, rezones, and variances in the vicinity of the subject property is irrelevant, not admissible as evidence in support of a request for a variance as clearly spelled out in the county zoning ordinance. Besides, as explained above, the Board of Supervisors rethought that area in 2024, and that rethinking did not include the subject property. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And I'm asking this because it's good procedure, it's state law, it's county regulations. I do not want you to say, well, I think I can make the findings and then vote on it. Because right now, the only findings you have are the ones provided by staff, which says you can't approve this. So if you're going to make the findings, I want you to spell it out clearly so staff can write it down in the record. What is the substantial property right that's threatened that requires this parcel split? What is it exactly? I want to know that because I'm assuming the guy next door is going to come and say, I have the same problem, and I want to know what that is. I also want to know what's unique about this property that requires the split. There are lots of properties along there, all identical. So those are the two things I want to hear from you. What is the unique circumstance that makes this property different from all the others? And what is the right that you are trying to protect? That's the purpose of a variance. Thank you.
Anyone else to speak in opposition to this item? At this time, I will go to the applicant. It's time for a rebuttal if he so chooses.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Austin Yule for the applicant. Just a quick point of a clarification to Mr. Reap's points. The property, as Tawanda had mentioned, does have a designation for rural residential and follows the intent of the Board of Supervisors as it related to residential development. Additionally, as he had laid out, obviously this property in its nature and being along the bluff is unique. Its topography is unique. Its location is unique. Which is what's led to further parcelization of the area and the development of that area. That rural residential has naturally developed, which is the intent of the landowner to develop it consistent with what's taken place by their neighbors and to allow for the use and enjoyment of the property for that purpose. Thank you guys very much for the questions and the discussion. Again, we believe the findings can be, and we have laid those out in addition to what staff has. And those are included in Exhibit 7, page 1. Happy to answer any other questions you guys may have.
How about substantial property right?
So I would argue that you have a right for use and enjoyment consistent with what the local land use authority has provided your neighbors. And that's consistent with the land use designation that the Board of Supervisors had adopted in February of 2024 to allow for rural residential development in this area. Thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you. Can I ask staff to address the rural residential designation?
Yes. As we spoke about earlier, the board, when they adopted the updated general plan in February of 2024, this area along with Reno Road, they designated it as rural residential, but with a 5-acre minimum.
But it's still in the AL-20. AL-20.
Correct, yeah. It's underlined in land use designation, but the zoning is still AL-20.
Okay.
So you're saying that it's stipulated 5 acres.
That is... I don't even have my phone near me. That is correct.
That was by the supervisors.
That is correct.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, this would be time for sure rebuttal. Mr. Reap, if you care to make any comments with what Mr. Yule stated.
If I heard correctly, right now the right is to have a 5-acre parcel by right. Anything else granted to them is a special privilege given to you, which is not allowed by law. You've got to do better than that to come up with a reason to divide this property. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone, well, there's no other. Mr. Yule, I was going to close. I'll allow a point of clarification.
I just wanted to note that the application for the project was submitted prior to the land use designation by the Board of Supervisors changing. And so the intent at the time, which is still consistent, but the application went in at 2.5. The Board of Supervisors then approved a 5-acre designation. That's what I was told by Nick Uvino, who had submitted the application, the original application.
Remind me again that the board approved your project across the street, correct?
Correct.
And how many acres were those
lots? Those are 2 acres.
Thank you.
Yep.
What they just said.
Yeah, I don't have the date right here on the top of my head, but I received this application. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it had been given to another planner, and then it was given to me. But there was some complications. I don't believe it was a complete application. We didn't have all of the funds for it, so we didn't actually charge it until after the designation. So
either way, with the submittal of the application, you still run the risk of when new laws are adopted. So the processing of the application and when it comes before public hearing, we have to process it under the existing requirements.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what
so,
we're hearing.
As to the exact date of the submittal, we don't have that information before us, but we have to process it and bring it before your commission. Under the current regulations that we have.
Mr. Uvino, I'll allow you to make your comments, but by the same token, I'll allow Mr. Reap to come back if
yes,
he wishes
thank you.
To.
I can clarify some of those dates. So the application was originally filed in October of 2023. I know the general plan was adopted in February of 2024. But along that, this application was actually handed to two planners prior to Ms. Gonzalez here. So one left, one retired, and then we got our current planner. And also in January of this year, we were actually supposed to be at Planning Commission then, but the staff decided to redo the initial study part. So we suffered another delay there. So I'm just trying to clarify the exact timeline. And in terms of the check was in the county. They just did not cash it, or it took some time for them to find where they placed it, and then they cashed the check. So they think there was some delay on that part as well. So,
thank you. Mr. Reap, did you want to address any of that part regarding the dates?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think everybody here knows that the date of the application is not important at all. The board has since then decided what it wants to have see done out there, and that's to keep those at 5-acre parcels. And so if you can go ahead and find a property right or explain what's unique about this particular property, then go ahead. Otherwise, I expect all the neighbors are going to come to you one by one by one and ask for the same thing, and it'll undo the general plan. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and motions or motion. Mr. Quist?
Just a comment. As it stands now with the gentleman's property, he has the right to build a home and a second by a director's review, correct?
That is correct.
And that would be, he would then be enjoying the right of properties that are nearby under the same designation.
That is correct.
Okay.
Any other comments? Mr. Whalen?
But there is a limit.
That's correct. The living area for the second house can only 2,000 square feet or less.
Was that square footage set by state or the county?
That's set by the county in our zoning ordinance.
But the other house could be 10,000 square feet.
That's correct.
Any other comments, questions, motions?
Make a motion, Mr. Quist.
I can finding one due to topography and the location of that particular property. I mean, being that the board did pass to rezone the other property across the street and the location of Bryant Road and Willow and the surrounding properties to allow the 2.5 acres, and the fact that the property is, a lot of it, I believe, is on a hill and slope, which is not really conducive to agriculture. Still looking at the other ones.
That's working. Well, I'd welcome any other comments. I'm having trouble making all the findings.
Is your mic on, Chairman?
It keeps it, both ours here keeps going.
It's on
get
now.
To green, it goes to red. So
yeah, that's what I was having problems with that too.
So any other comments from the commission or any thoughts before we ask for a motion?
I agree with Commissioner Borchardt, but I'm waiting to hear some more on number two. Item number two.
I want to make a motion, and so we can move on. We can up or down it.
Okay.
I'm going to move to agree with staff's findings and deny the variance.
Okay. There's a motion to deny. Is there a second?
I'll make a second.
Okay.
It's on staff's report.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Quist, a second by Commissioner Hill. to deny as per staff's recommendation. Any discussion? Do a roll call vote.
Commissioner Quist?
Yes.
Commissioner Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Whelan?
Yes.
Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
No.
Commissioner Borchardt?
No.
Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes. So the motion to deny carries 6-2 and is final unless appealed to the board. Thank you very much. Item 6.
Regular agenda item number 6. Variance application number 4187, filed by Matthew Snavely, proposing to waive the required 20-foot side yard setback and allow a 14-foot 6-inch setback for a as-built accessory living quarter conversion within a storage building to resolve violation 23-016485. The subject property is approximately 2.31 acres located within the rural residential zone district. The subject parcel is located on the north side of East Mesa Avenue, approximately 40 feet west of the intersection with North Thomas Avenue and approximately 0.48 miles northeast of the city of Clovis.
Good morning, Chair and members of the Commission. I'm Ariana Brown with the Department of Public Works and Planning. This variance application proposes to allow a reduced setback for an as-built accessory living quarters. The parcel site is located on the north side of East Mesa Avenue. The subject parcel and the surrounding area is zoned rural residential. This site plan shows the proposed reduced setback along the northern side yard. These are photos of the accessory living quarter from different angles. Staff has been unable to make all four findings for granting this variance, as there was not an extraordinary circumstance identified and there was not a property right at risk identified. This concludes staff presentation. Thank you. I'm available for questions.
I had a question on the, can you bring up the map, the site plan there? So they're at 14.6 and 20 is the required, right?
Yes.
The main residence itself looks on the drawing to be inside of the setback as well. Is that an error or is that actually?
It does look like that. Because we're not discussing the main house, I honestly did not press them on that, but I did notice it as well.
So I looked up the street view and I looked up the Zillow one, and it looks like it was built in 1980, and I imagine the setback existed in those days, but I was curious on that because perhaps maybe that is a special circumstance. Maybe he looked at it when he built it and thought, well, if I build inside of that, I should be fine.
I'm sure the applicant could speak more on their site plan. Yeah. Maybe it's just an error the way it looks.
Well, on the street view, it looks.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
So the issue isn't that there's a second residence on the property. It's just the setback by.
Right. This actually, this is an accessory living quarters that was originally built as a storage. Some of the issues came up when the storage is built without plans or permits. Then it was remodeled into an accessory living quarters, again, without plans or permits. Stipulations for storage accessory compared to living quarters accessory, they follow different standards. So the fact that it's a living quarters now within the setback.
What was the history on the violation? Was it a neighbor thing or was it what set that off?
I wasn't sure. I didn't have any neighbors address this.
I can answer that question. It was a complaint form that was received to our code enforcement department. and then the applicant to correct the violation, submitted plans, and then that's
then this they found out.
That's correct. And to also clarify what Ariana is saying, our zoning ordinance has exemptions where structures that do not have living spaces or living quarters in them, for this zone district, if they're more than 100 feet back from the front property line, can encroach into the required setbacks. But once they converted a portion of that structure to accessory living quarters, that's what triggered the need for a variance.
Gotcha. Okay. And that's what now they're calling it, just recreation. So they're saying it's not living quarters.
Yeah, before it was a storage building, and then a storage building that was a portion of the storage building was converted to accessory
living. Yeah. Oh, because a rec building is still considered living quarters.
Yeah,
They said in their statement, said something about this is going to be exclusively used for recreation only, or something.
Yeah, And what they put in their statement versus our requirements, our requirements are going to be based off of the floor plan and what living spaces they're showing within that floor plan. Gotcha. And that's.
So you say the violation has been corrected?
Not yet. Until they're granted building permits, the violation is still open. And let me add to that, the violation doesn't get finaled on a building permit until permits have been issued and inspections and final inspection.
And none of that's been done yet?
Correct.
So waiting to see how the...
Still waiting to see how the variance goes.
Gotcha.
Any other questions of staff? Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Could the applicant come forward? State name and address, if you would.
Yeah. Good morning, board members. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. My name is Matthew Snavely with CR Design Build. I'm representative for the Jeff John ALQ located at 9454 East Mesa Avenue, Clovis, California. So at this time, I will read the operational statement. The following statement is a strong argument to highlight the petition to grant permission to allow the proposal of an accessory living quarters located at 9454 East Mesa Avenue, Clovis, California. This ALQ is for the purpose of recreational use and doesn't impact the well-being of the neighbors in the community. It is situated on approximately 2.3 acres in the backyard of an existing residence. It is not readily visible to the neighbors in the community and thus has a low impact, if any, on the neighbors. The granting of a variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to property and improvement in the vicinity in which the property is located. On behalf of Jeff John, property owner, our recommendation is for the planning board to strongly consider allowing this project to move forward. Sincerely submitted, Matthew Snavely, CR Design Build.
Chairman, I'm not sure that document is actually in your packets. Did you see it there? It's not in mine. It's in yours? What he was reading was something called an operational statement?
Yes.
Operational statement. I don't see that in my packet.
Can you provide a copy of it to the clerk for copy?
Yeah, absolutely. Here we go.
So are you, you can answer questions then for the applicant?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Is the main residence built inside of the 20-foot setback?
That main residence there, I scaled everything. So that area that's kind of lining up, now that's a garage right there. That's a parking port garage. So, but everything is, per my investigation, everything is scaled. So,
is it built inside of 20 feet?
Go ahead, Cesar.
Sorry. Uh-huh. Cesar Rodriguez, CR Consulting Group, 3802 West Ashcroft, Fresno, California. Originally, when we looked at this project for the client, the client has been I've been his client for a long time. We surveyed the property almost 10 years ago. And back to your question, yes, the property is within 15 feet of the setback. And I think that's the reason why he built that metal building within 15 feet of its setback, because it's supposed to have been in line with the edge of the existing house.
When you say 15, so there's 15
feet between the north property line and the edge of the building.
Okay, so there's, yeah. Okay, so it's 5 feet into the 20-foot setback.
Correct, right, okay. And then I believe that, I mean, that's an existing house, and that's the way it was built. So somewhere down the line, the lines got moved, or the setbacks got moved, but I mean, that's an existing home.
No additions.
Okay. That's at the edge of the garage there.
And your other one is 14.6.
14.6, yeah.
So it's just shy.
Just shy of the six, what that. Yeah. By 6 inches. And again, this facility was built as a shop at the beginning with his growing family. He decided that, hey, you know what? Maybe we can have a recreational facility for the kids, for us, to have, you know, family parties and things like that. And why he decided to try to use it as a accessory living space for, you know, guests and family.
What was the violation? Was there excessive noise or something? Or was there, what obviously something had, there's had to be a cause and effect to something that happened there.
Can you repeat that question, sir?
In other words, what's the nature of the violation? Were they throwing parties, excessive noise?
No, I believe it was just a complaint from the neighbor, saw some activity in the back happening. I know that they built that metal building. I believe they're trying to correct all the issues with mm-hmm. it. They're paying the fines to make sure that it's done correctly. They got me involved at the end of it to put together drawings for the accessory building to make sure it meets all the codes and things like that. That's what we do. We provide design and engineering.
Okay, so there wasn't anything specific?
No.
That you know, because I was just doing a quick Google Earth search. Several neighbors look like to be there within 20 feet. I don't know if they're shop buildings or what kind of buildings they are, but even the guy just to the immediate east of this is clearly less than 20 feet with some of his accessory
yes,
buildings.
There's a couple of different properties on that same area that they're consistent with what my client is doing here. So he's thinking he's within line.
I'm not saying that justifies it.
Right? No, it doesn't justify
We're looking at you specifically, but I just...
But I'm just trying to go to his mentality as far as what he thought what he was doing. Mm-hmm. As long as he's within within the same parameters of everybody else in the neighborhood, I'm sure I'm not justifying what he's done. I'm just trying to...
And he was not the original builder of that home.
No, he's right? Not. Yeah.
Did he build the shop?
He built the shop. It was a metal building designed by Borga, built, installed by Borga's subcontractors, whoever it was.
When was that? That
was right before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Then it was done with no permit, and that's the issue.
Part of the issue, yeah.
Because had they gotten a permit, they'd have seen the... Yeah. Setback requirement. Yeah.
And then, you know, mostly because of the unique location of it, there's issues with other places having, you know, accessory dwelling units. It's not even part of the county. It's part of the CCNRs. So we're trying to make everything correct and make sure we bring everything up to code. And, you know, we're here to present it, say we're trying to do the right thing, too.
Are there any major issues that you found with the structure meeting code? In other words, like slab thickness and...
No, everything was per code. I believe there was inspections done.
Footing.
Inspections done, and that's what brought up the situation as far as the accessory dwelling.
It's typically when that's done, you need compaction test, footing test.
Yeah.
The torque test on
Yeah,
the,
they, you know. They've done a lot of the testing, and we've submitted those to the county. Again, this is basically a correction on the owner's part, and we're trying to document everything that was done and taken care of. And we're, you know, we're just trying to do the right thing here, I'm trying to get them past this hurdle.
So this addition has already been.
The addition was built, or the metal building was built prior to the pandemic. Okay, so once the pandemic went through and it was in the active, they decided, hey, you know what, maybe we should do a recreational facility because he's got like three or four kids or something, and they wanted somewhere their family can commute, maybe have friends come over, big family functions. Yes. That's a portable. There's another on the south side. There's another entrance on that side.
Another entrance where?
Down on the bottom here. Where underneath the pool?
Yeah, I didn't
it's
see
a
that.
2 acre parcel.
Oh. Okay.
Two and a half acre parcel.
So there's another entrance back there?
Yeah.
I thought there was lots of both.
No. Entrance from the front. From the front of the property.
And use the pointer and.
How do you get past all the trees? It's a crazy question, but
yeah, I got you. I don't know how to work this.
They're very skinny trees.
Along here, he comes up, and this is all. He's able to come in across this way.
Which way?
Once you get back there, I see it.
Yeah, I know it's kind of.
I believe the carport. On the street view, is that there's a portal through there as well, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And one of the notes says that you may have to relocate the propane tank.
Yeah, that's easy. It's all just underground plumbing.
And you may need permits for the gazebo if it's over a certain size.
Yeah, anything over 120 square feet will be required a permit. And he's willing to do. All that's necessary.
Would you have a desire to add a second residence?
No.
I mean, if you would be allowed a second residence.
According to the county, it's you can't.
Yeah, once you have an accessory living quarters, you're not eligible to get a second.
No, but I mean, if he didn't have this as an accessory living
if he didn't have it, then yes. Yeah, he could apply for a director's review.
That's kind of like the toss up there, damn if you do, damn if you don't. He should have built a second dwelling unit as opposed to doing what he did, but we're here now. So I would consider that as a second accessory dwelling unit.
You're considering what's there now.
I mean,
as
I would
second residence.
Oh yeah. I mean, if he would have built a second home and left that shop alone, he would have been fine. But he wanted to use the shop as part of his recreational area.
You're calling this the part that's in question.
Accessory living quarters.
Is it a recreational area? Is
yeah,
it going to be
yeah.
living quarters?
No. If he has guests over to come in.
Well,
yeah.
Recreation. I think if it's a recreation area, then and staff recognizes it that way, that might change things. I don't know. Staff, you want to address that?
No, for us, the accessory living quarters comes into play if there's a bedroom, living room area. It doesn't have to have a kitchen per se. It can have a under-counter refrigerator, but not a full refrigerator. There's different requirements for it to qualify as accessory living quarters. But the unfortunate thing is once you establish an accessory living quarters, you then eliminate yourself from being eligible to be allowed a second residence.
Is there a way for him to change that designation if he gets rid of something that doesn't make it a second residence?
Or yeah, I mean, there's always the option of just converting it to a full-blown second residence. They have that option if they chose to.
I guess the issue really is just it's within the setback.
Yeah, that's the main.
Okay. All right. Any other questions of the applicant? Did you have anything else to add at this time?
I just appreciate your consideration. And again, it's just something we're just trying to correct here on behalf of the owner.
Okay. And how long has the owner owned the property?
I believe he's been in there for over 10 years.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Well, seeing none, close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion.
I have a question for staff real quick. So if we don't approve this, what does he have to do? Take out the living area? Does the building have to go? Does he have to disconnect the power to it? Because correct me if I'm wrong, you could build up to the easement if you don't have any power to it, correct?
No, not quite. So to answer the first part of your question, the options would be either to scale back and get it to within the 20-foot requirement, or convert the portion that is accessory living quarters back to a storage facility. Because we have requirements or exemptions within our zoning ordinance where if it's a storage building, a barn, and it's more than 100 feet from the front property line and it's not a street side setback, meaning there's a public road on either side, it can encroach into the required setback. So they don't have, and that's why that existing RV cover, for instance, if it is permitted, that's part of why they would allow it to encroach into that side yard setback. But as soon as you add any living area component to a structure, whether permitted or unpermitted, you're going to be subject to the property development standards, including the setback requirements.
So if I heard you correctly, he does not have to, all he has to do is take out the living area in that thing.
Yeah.
And then if he wished, he could build a separate living quarters anywhere on the property.
Correct.
And within the setback.
Correct. Okay. Or apply for a DRA as well for second residence, but it would need to meet the setback requirements.
Any other questions, comments from the commission?
Do you think that when this was just built as a, say, a rec or a garage carport, that the setback was the 14 feet?
Yeah, that part, it's a good question. I'm not 100% sure if they added the accessory order portion to that building, but I just know that both the storage building that accessory living quarters is attached to were both built without permits. So yeah, so it's hard to say, you know, what exactly they did.
Okay, thank you.
So if this is approved, they still have to go and get all the permits for the things that aren't permitted. There could be two propane tanks that are close to the property line that may need to be relocated.
Mm-hmm.
And the gazebo or anything that's not permitted.
That's correct.
Permitted. Any words of wisdom?
I do have a question. So
had it been permitted just as a storage structure, it would have been absent where located?
That's correct, without them needing to come in for a variance.
Okay. And so the transgression is that they put a bathroom and a couch?
Well, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, and I would correct that if, you know, I don't have the floor plan in front of me, but a bathroom we would allow, because if you're going to have a shop, mm-hmm. and you say, I just want a bathroom within the shop, it's if they could put a couch and a bedroom in there, that's essentially what triggers it.
I would make a motion
Could you check your mic or speak up a little bit? If it's off, then
bouncing
just
around.
Speak a little
I think
louder.
It keeps happening here. That there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances or conditions applicable to the property involved, given the nature of the location of the current building, and that it would be necessary to preserve the enjoyment of a substantial property right, and that the granting of the variance would not materially be detrimental to the public welfare. It sounds like there are others with similar, and there's no one that has any objections, it sounds like, and that the granting of the variance would not be contrary to the general plan. That would be my motion.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Whalen to approve the project with the findings that he stated with regards to the preservation and enjoyment of property right and the unique situation that's created. And Commissioner Quist made the second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion to approve the application carries as final unless appealed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Next item on the agenda. Staff, you have any?
Nothing to add at this time.
On the agenda, but any comments? We're not done yet.
Not done.